welcome everybody on a Tuesday. Trash Talk with Tony Broski is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, I've got most of my crew here with me. Eli Bashy, Mike Bilica, Jay Horn, and Graham Richards are all here. Talasawa, unfortunately, has homework tonight, so he cannot make it. But, like I just said, I got the rest of the crew with me. So let's get right into intros. Mike Bilica, I want to start with you. We're going to switch up the intros this week. Let's get funky. How are you today, Mike? How's school going? And how are you feeling? Because you know I got to ask you. How are you feeling about Alabama?
I'm feeling good. School's going good. I had a great weekend for a lot of reasons that we will discuss. But I'm enjoying Alabama. I'm enjoying Mac, even though he got a tough loss yesterday.
Hey, hey, it was next week.
Against Tom Brady.
Uh-oh. Mike, who's going to win that football game? Call your shot now.
The Patriots, man.
Better quarterback, Mac Jones or Tom Brady?
Mac Jones. Let's do it. Like I said, the better quarterback will win, just like last night.
Well, a couple nights ago at the time of releasing this. But yeah, Mac Brady on Sunday Night Football. Oh, that's going to be fun. Today's show isn't going to divide the Trash Talk crew. Next week's show, when we talk Mac versus Brady, oh boy.
Two straight weeks of division
in the Trash Talk crew. But before we get into all of that, next week, the SEC slate, oh my, it's looking juicy. We got number 8, Arkansas, and number 2, Georgia, playing on Saturday afternoon. And then, of course, on CBS, we've got Ole Miss and Alabama.
Can't ask for more. I got the day off, too.
Oh, you got Saturday. Oh, I know what Mike's doing on Saturday then.
Ooh, SEC football, the best division in college sports. Let's do it.
Mike is set for the weekend. He's got Alabama and SEC football on Saturday, and then Mac versus Brady on Sunday night. My goodness.
That's the weekend right there.
Mike is doing great. Let's check in on Eli Bashy. Eli, are you there? Eli is not there. We switched up the intro.
Hello?
Oh, he is there. Hi,
sorry,
Eli.
I guess I was unmuted, and then I muted myself.
Oh, I thought Eli told us he was going to get a drink, so that's why we switched up the intros this week. I thought you weren't there, but he's here.
I did.
Eli.
I got a tangerine LaCroix.
And what are you eating tonight?
I'm eating some leftover pizza. I put it in the air fryer, and it's good as new.
Wow, look at that. All right. Eli Bashy, how's school and work going for you?
They're going well. I am now moved into a new home. Very north.
Out in 94 Mile Road?
Yeah, 94 Mile Road. That's exactly right.
Takes about 94 minutes for me to get there.
Yeah, on I-94. I'm doing well. I'm happy I'm moved in. Still a lot of work to do, but I'm here.
Beautiful. And Eli, you know, today we're recording this on Monday. Today was Pistons media day, and Tuesday, the time this comes out, so technically it'll be today when you're listening to this. Today is the start of training camp for the Pistons. We're getting close. Sooner rather than later, we're gonna have to start talking Pistons basketball again.
Oh yeah, I cannot wait. It's, how many days till opening night? Like 20?
Well, we're under a month for sure. I mean, yeah, today's the 27th. This will be out on the 28th, and the season opener against the Bulls is the 20th, so.
Yeah, we're under a month, and it's coming quick.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, seeing the pictures of Cade in his Pistons jersey today.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that yet.
Well, just go to Twitter. Look at Nick's Twitter, not Hinkle. The other Nick, my LeBron friend. Just look at his Twitter. He's got all of them. I don't know where he's finding these, but he's got all of them. I saw Luka, Hamidou, Frank Killian. I'm like, all right, Nick's got this. But I can't wait. I cannot wait for the Pistons to be back. And the Red Wings are coming back soon, too. So we're going to have to eventually.
I'm following them this year, by the way, Tony.
You're lying to me. Stop it.
I swear. Stop. You have to, like, teach me hockey this year.
I got you. We're going to talk Red Wings sooner rather than later as well. I got you. We're going to spend an entire segment in a future show. And I'm going to teach Eli Red Wings.
Well, I'm a big hockey guy. So
that is true. You know, he is a big hockey guy.
Red Wings, you know.
Oh well, you will when I'm done with you.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, like, if there's a Pistons game the same day, of course I'm going to prioritize the Pistons game.
Well, of course. But no, I would recommend. Like, I would recommend you prioritize the Pistons.
If the Red Wings are ever like the only thing on, I will watch the Red Wings over anything else.
I expect you to be watching Lightning Wings from LCA on the 14th.
Ooh. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Eli, good to have you back on the program this week. Let's move over to Jay Horn. Hi, Jay.
Hey.
Hey, how is it going? How was your weekend?
It was great. You know, I'm about to leave soon. I don't have much to say. It was pretty all right.
Yep. Jay's got to escape out of here because he doesn't want to handle the smoke.
You know, my Sunday stinked because QB9, you know, took down my, you know, my guy.
We'll talk about it. We'll get to it. Grant Richards, last but not least, how are you today, Grant? And as always, Mike Billica, take it away.
How was the sports betting this
week? Yo, who's chewing with their mic on? Eli.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Grant, go on.
It's hard to work through that chewing, but I'm going to do my best. We're starting with sports betting today.
Goodness gracious.
We're starting with sports betting today, but sports betting was, you know, I had a good time. took home some free money, opened up a sports book on FanDuel with Michigan and like a push the over or whatever it is.
Spread the love.
Love that name. But so Michigan
said
plus
push the
what,
over.
60 something.
Where did you come up with that?
Because on DraftKings it's hammer the over, so I knew it was like push or I don't know, whatever. Anyway,
he was close.
I still do not have a grasp on NFL. Hit a college football parlay, but the NFL continues to elude me, not only in betting but also in fantasy.
Mm.
And as far as my weekend goes, you know, other than betting, it was an immaculate week. We had Michigan winning. We had the Raiders winning, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Oh, yeah, we will.
As I mentioned last show, the U.S. Men's Ryder Cup team winning in astronomical fashion.
Yeah.
This is like – they won 19-9 in a 28-point format, which is essentially like going 73-9.
Biggest win since 79, correct?
Yes, sir. And that the only reason 79 was bigger was because that was a 32-point format instead of 28. So this is the biggest margin of victory in the 28-point format ever. So it was an electric just beatdown. They are calling it the – oh, man. For slaughter by the water, because this was played on Lake Michigan in Wisconsin at Whistling Straits.
Hey,
so
now,
absolutely
hey,
electric
now.
Weekend. While we're on the topic, Tony, how was your sports betting week?
Well, listen, I bounced back, and I had a fun time, too. We had a bounce back week. You know, last week I mentioned the previous week I went away from baseball bets, and that hurt me. Last week I went back to baseball bets, and that helped me. I went into the football betting weekend with some momentum. You know, the college football Saturday really wasn't great for me, as Grant just kind of mentioned. I also went on FanDuel and took Michigan plus 95. So that was free money. And just by that hitting, it was a guaranteed winning week. But that still didn't help the fact that my Saturday and Sunday betting wise wasn't particularly great. I mean, we hit a few NFL bets on Sunday, particularly the Cardinals over Jacksonville. I got them at -8, I believe it was. And then I also hit on the Rams plus +1. Wow! We'll talk about that in a second here. But yes, it was a winning week for me. Bounce back winning week. Let's keep it rolling. Let's have some more fun, Grant. Gentlemen, good to have everyone back. Hope to get Tyler back soon. But nonetheless, let's get into the program today. Whole lot of football to talk about. We're going to talk Lions. We're going to talk Raiders. We're going to talk Michigan, Michigan State. But to begin, I am going to switch things up this week because Jay does have to get out of here so he can dunk on people and talk some smack on the basketball court. So, let's begin today's show. Not with the Lions. We'll get to them in a second here. But let's begin with that Bucks-Rams game on Sunday. You know, when the Lions traded Matthew Stafford to the Rams, I knew he was going to be in games like this where he was going to show the world. And then the people sleeping on him and the people hating on him. Who exactly Matthew Stafford, number 9, my quarterback, is? And that's what he did on Sunday against the Bucks. 343 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Rams win, and they beat Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The defending champs went down in the hands of my quarterback, number 9, John Matthew Stafford. Put some respect on his name. He started a little shaky. May have been some of the nerves because it's been a long time since he's played in a big game like that, a big regular season game especially. He was a little nervous at first probably, but once he got those nerves down and he was just cooking and doing his thing, it was a thing of beauty. I had a great time watching that football game. So did Eli and Mike too. But before we get to them, we gotta talk to Jay. Jay, how are we feeling after that loss by the hands of number 9? How's that L tasting, my friend?
That bad?
I'm here.
It took him a minute to answer, but he's here.
Oh, no, I was setting up the scoreboard in the gym. I'm here. Mm. You can't win them all, man. You got to lose some, you know? Mm-hmm. Brady has lost some, you know, games in his early seasons before. He's won the Super Bowl, so I'm not worried. Mm-hmm. You know, John Matthew Stafford, I love him to death, but as soon as he comes across my, you know, QB 12, he's finished.
Well, he wasn't finished on Sunday. In fact, he finished you in your quarterback.
Hey, it's regular season, though.
The best quarterback on the field in that game was not Mr. Tom Brady.
That's okay, man. It's regular season.
Oh, it's just regular season. That's right.
Yeah,
it was just regular season. Yeah.
That's you know, but you know, so I'm not gonna say much. I have to go, you know, dunk on people, as you would say.
Wait a minute, you gotta hear what Eli and Mike have to say.
Well, make it quick, Eli. Don't be nice.
Eli, don't be nice. Get it all out, take as much time as you need.
I mean, the way I look at it is the better quarterback won the game, as Mike would say. I mean, we've known that Matthew Stafford was capable of this. I mean, people have been hyping him up. I was hoping the pressure wouldn't get to him, and I knew it wouldn't because he's so rock solid, man. He's just so, like, God, he's just so poised all the time. It's unbelievable. I'm so happy for him. I hope they stay healthy. I really, really hope they stay healthy because I think they have a really good chance to make it to the Super Bowl. Knock on wood if you're with me.
Hey, Jay just left. He couldn't handle the heat. Nope. Oh, he couldn't handle it.
My dad was actually watching with me. He's like,
oh, what was his reaction?
Yeah, he's like, that's your boy Stafford, right? He's like, hey. He couldn't do that on the Lions. Look how much time he has to throw the ball. He didn't have no time on the Lions. They got to him in a second. So even my dad knows that, you know, Stafford had no O-line. He had no help. Mm-hmm. So if my dad knows that, then, you know, everyone's going to be able to know.
Eli's dad gets it. I know Mike gets it, too. Mike, what was your thoughts watching that game on Sunday and seeing Brady, your favorite, I know he's your favorite, going down to number 9?
What more could I have asked for? It's one thing with all the things we've been saying about giving Stafford a real team, and it's another thing when it actually happens and all the things we've been saying come to life. The way the season has started for the Rams, I can't ask for more. It's lovely. You know what made it even better? Yesterday's game?
What made it better? Tell me.
The commercials.
Oh, well, yes, there was
Don't you dare.
Oh, a scoop. It was a scoop and a chocolate.
There it is.
Oh, there it is. That's what he's talking about.
French vanilla, rocky roll.
Oh, no. Calm down. Let's settle down here. The commercial was a great time, and Stafford dominating the Buccaneers defense was beautiful. And we do have to give credit to the Rams offensive line, though, because Stafford, he was barely touched in that game. The only sack the Rams gave up was late in like garbage time in the fourth quarter. So that's what happens when you protect Matthew Stafford and give him time to throw. That's exactly what happens. When Matthew Stafford got traded to the Rams, I sat back and thought, I'm sad that he's gone. And I'm sad that we couldn't win with him here. But he's going to a team with that defense and that offense, those weapons, and Sean McVay. Oh, he's going to shine in big moments. And people who were doubting and sleeping are going to go, wow, Matthew Stafford, he's pretty good. I didn't know that. Or they're going to go, wow, he's better than I thought. Maybe it's actually because he was in a bad situation with the Lions. Oh, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. Grant, I'll get you in on here as well, and then we'll move on. But what was your... I know the Raiders were on at the same time, but what was your thoughts on Matthew Stafford's dominant performance against the Bucs on Sunday?
I mean, it's great to see. This is his first real test. I mean, this is probably the biggest test he'll face all season, defending Super Bowl champs who brought everybody back on their roster. And yeah, you can say that, oh, it's early in the season, it doesn't really matter, we want to keep our guys safe, but
that's Jay's excuse.
I mean you can't really debate it, because I mean, it's not the most untrue thing we've heard.
You still gotta win these games though,
right? I mean, these are still games you have to win. Like you mentioned, the Raiders were on as well at the same time, so didn't catch a ton of the game, but I did see that every time I looked at the game, it was a completion to Cooper Kupp. And I love that they're working that matchup. I love the Rams receivers, and I love that Matthew John Stafford is having an I know it's the other way around. Whatever, dude. He's just having a good time with these wideouts. He's doing everything that you could have ever asked and probably more. I didn't expect a routing. Like, I expected this Rams plus one to maybe even come into play, but
it was a pick'em game for a minute. That's how close people thought it was going to be.
And look what happened, man.
Matthews showed out. The O-line showed out.
The Rams D showed out.
The Rams D, yeah, they played really well in that game. While the Buccaneers could barely touch Stafford, the Rams D was getting all over Tom Brady. And I loved every second of it. Woo-wee. Yeah, that was fun. And, you know, you mentioned how this might be the biggest regular season game Stafford's going to play. Part of me agrees with you, but then part of me goes, he's also in the NFC West, and he's going to have games like on Sunday against the 3-0 Cardinals, where you got to win these division games. In that division, you got to win these games. You got to show out too. But, you know, he's still going to have statement games like this against Tampa Bay. They needed to come out and play that way, because now people are talking about, wow, the Rams might be for real. Wow, Stafford might actually be the real deal in this Rams offense in Los Angeles. That was a statement game. And as a proud Matthew Stafford fan, I am feeling really good about this Rams team right now. Hopefully they can stay healthy, as Eli said, because three games in, this is looking like one of the best teams in the NFL. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really, really good. So we go from that to a team and a game where I really wasn't feeling great afterwards. We go to the Detroit Lions. Let's now actually get into the Lions and talk about whatever that was on Sunday against Baltimore. Oh, goodness. You know, I'm just used to it at this point. I'm used to seeing the Lions lose in the most ridiculous of ways. And that game on Sunday was one of the most Lions losses I've ever seen. That right there was Detroit Lions football if I have ever seen it. The refs jobbed us. And on top of that, we lost on one of the most insane kicks I've ever seen. Literal NFL history with that kick. The most Lions loss I've ever seen. Now, I will give credit to the Lions for fighting back into this game. Because in the first half, especially offensively, it was pretty ugly. It was 10-0 at halftime, 13-0 Baltimore early in the second half, and it honestly probably should have been worse than that, because the Ravens, particularly Hollywood Brown, had some huge drops that would have been touchdowns to extend Baltimore's lead. Not a great start to that game for the Lions. However, they came fighting back into this one. I will give credit to the Lions for that. You know, DeAndre Swift started to eat in the second half. He gets a touchdown to make it a 13-7 game. The Ravens go down, get a field goal. They go up 16-7. And then the Lions respond with another scoring drive. After DeAndre Swift almost scores again after hurdling people, it's Jamal Williams who gets into the end zone to make it a 2-point game. Then, next Ravens drive, it's the AO interception. Honestly, when AO got that interception, I thought the Lions were going to win this game. Even though we were still down at that point, believe it or not, I had faith in the offensive score. They had just scored in their previous two drives to start the second half. I was feeling good. I really thought the Lions were going to win this game at that point. And I was feeling good with the offense, too. I trusted that they were going to go down there and score, and they did. However, they only got 3 instead of 7. The offense got a little conservative, and they played for a field goal. I was still feeling good, though. And overall, I love the fight that we saw from the Lions once again. It was another good sign for this Dan Campbell team to see the fight that we saw in the second half of this football game. That's another good sign for head coach Dan Campbell, if you ask me. But though I was feeling good at this point, this is where it obviously got bad. First of all, let's begin with the 4th-and-19. That was awful. Absolutely awful. You just can't allow that to happen. I don't know what Will Harris was doing on that play. Apparently there was a miscommunication in the secondary. I don't know. It was bad. And again, that just cannot happen, especially at that moment. It stinks too, because overall, the defense, I thought, played really good on Sunday. They were getting stops against Lamar. They were getting pressure to him. They were doing well, but they just couldn't get the stop at that moment in the game. That wasn't great. But still, though, overall, I was happy with the defensive performance, especially considering how bad the defense played in the first two games of the season against the 49ers and the Packers. Yeah, I was impressed with the way the defense played on Sunday against Baltimore. Just couldn't get the stop, though, and they allowed that 4th-and-19. Not great, but still, though, I can't get too mad at the defense for allowing that 4th-and-19, even though that was bad. I can't get too mad at the defense for allowing that, because after that play, the Ravens got so many breaks because of some missed calls by the officials. The big one that people are still talking about, and let's be honest here, we are going to continue to talk about for a while, and deservingly so, is the no call for delay of game. I didn't notice it at first because I was so nervous watching this game at this moment. I was pacing back and forth in my room. I happened to be turned away when the clock ran out and Lamar snapped the ball. I didn't see it at first. I noticed it when people tweeted at me and said they just missed a delay of game call. They didn't call it. And I said, did they? So I went back and sure enough, I saw it. I'm like, oh my goodness, that clock is at 0. They didn't call it. And you know, there are people saying, well, the broadcast might not be synced with the actual game clock on the field. If that's the case, sure, okay, but on my television screen, the clock hit 0 on my TV, and I counted 1, 2, Lamar snapped the ball. So there was that. There was that. There was also a false start not called on the Baltimore right guard, I believe. And they also could have called grounding on Lamar, too, as he threw it out of bounds. So many missed calls by the officials at that moment that led to the most insane kick I've ever seen. I said this in my post-game video. There's only one kicker on this planet that can make that kick, and it's Justin Tucker. Listen, Justin Tucker, one of the best, if not the best, to ever do it in the history of the NFL. He's awesome. But come on. NFL record, 66 yards, and it doinked off the post and went in. That is so Detroit Lions football. That is such a Lions loss, even for this rebuilding team. That is such a Lions loss. You get jobbed by the officials a little bit on some bad missed calls, and then you have something like that happen. Oh, goodness. At least they fought back, I guess. Like I said, that is a good thing to see from the Lions in that game, even though the loss was terrible. It was a Lions way to lose. I did like seeing the team fight back once again. That's three games now under Dan Campbell where we've seen some signs of encouragement in this rebuild. You know, San Francisco, they fought back late. They lost, but they fought back late. In Green Bay, though they lost, they started hot in the first half. And then on Sunday against Baltimore, they fought back once again, even though they had one of the most Lions losses of all time. Another heartbreaker, even for this rebuilding team, but at least they fought back. Grant, I'm done. You can take it from here. You'll have the final word on the Lions. Give me your thoughts on that Lions loss from Sunday.
I mean, all that happened at the end of the game, but like you mentioned at the very beginning, Hollywood Brown dropping, what, three potential touchdowns?
It was like a lot.
The game probably shouldn't have been that close, but you can't play probabilities in the NFL, so it did come down to that kick. And I'm seeing a lot of Ravens fans on Twitter kind of getting up in arms, like, the refs didn't give them the game because Hollywood Brown dropped those balls. It's like, well, that's what happened. Like, the Raiders had Amari Cooper. I know what dropped balls look like. But just, like, this is the biggest, like, most provable, like, I don't know the word for it, but getting jobbed. Like, this is the most provable. You can look at the clock. Like, in all the other situations, whether it's the batted ball or Dez catching it, allegedly, it's a little up in the air. But this is, like, you look at the clock, you look at Lamar, and because that's how it works with delay of game, where the ref is given the opportunity to look at the clock, see it hit zero, and then look at the ball. And if the ball is still not moving by the time they're done looking, it's supposed to be delay of game. And you could look back at the clock and back at the ball probably three or four times in the time it's sitting at zero and the ball is not being snapped. It's disgusting. It's awful. But honestly, I don't know, man. It's just disgusting. Like, it happens every year. And now that it's not Matthew Stafford experiencing it, I saw that quote that Jared Goff said, it feels like a gut punch.
Well, he's officially a Lion now.
Yeah, and then the quote tweet was, "Welcome to Detroit, Jared." And
that was my tweet.
Exactly, I saw that tweet. But no, and then the kick hitting the crossbar, flailing up in the air with very minimal velocity. If that ball was a half yard back, that's missing. It's just like everything has to come together perfectly for that missed delay of game call to really affect the Lions, and it did. And 66 yards, beating the previous record of 64, skipping 65 altogether, I believe, that's just unreal. That is, I mean, credit to Justin Tucker. I wasn't thrilled with the Lions' performance, but stuck with it all day. Like, through till the end, again, not my favorite game they've played. But, I mean, to
they
go
fought.
Out like that.
I mean, they yeah. fought.
They're definitely not ever going to give up. Right. I haven't seen them get absolutely throttled at the very end of a game because they've always come back or been there. But they're not giving up yet. And even from a team, like, this is speaking a little more as a Raiders fan here, I've watched the Raiders give up in, like, important games. They are, till the end, going into that foxhole with Dan Campbell, and it's good to see. You love to see that, especially if you're considering this coach long-term, mm-hmm. which I hope they are because he's mm-hmm. got the program on the right track. But
so far, so good.
I mean, and I really like your matchup against the Bears next week. Just wanted to put that out there. Yeah. Circling the schedule, the Bears are currently -3, which money line hasn't come out yet, but I'm probably taking the Lions. I think the Lions get their first win Sunday.
Whoa.
I'm speaking that into existence.
Whoa. Well, Grant's calling the shot now. The Bears just allowed Justin Fields to get sacked 9 times in Cleveland on Sunday. Myles Garrett, who is just out of this world, he had 4.5 of those 9 sacks. The Bears are a mess. We're 3 games into the season. It's definitely looking like Chicago's going to be looking for a new head coach and GM after the season, but that's not my problem. Matt Nagy, in fact, came out on Monday and said, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, even Nick Foles, they're all in consideration to start on Sunday against the Lions. And oh, great. Well, I'm sure Chicago fans are loving that. the Bears are a mess. It's a close line for sure. I don't know if I'm going to be touching it, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know. My head hurts. I'm done talking Lions. To wrap up this game and move on to week 4, I like seeing the fight once again from this football team. As I said, and as Grant said too, it's a good sign for Dan Campbell. 3 games into the season, we can look back at one specific thing in each game and go, okay, they fought back in week 1. They started hot in week 2. They fought back in week 3. 3 games in, every game has something where we could go, okay, good for Dan Campbell. Now, on to week 4, Grant's calling his shot. Me, the Bears are a mess. Like I said, 9 sacks in Cleveland on Sunday. I think they had like 47 total yards of offense or something like that. Oh. The Bears are a mess. Maybe this will be the Lions' first win. I'd love that. I would absolutely love that, especially coming off this loss against Baltimore. But I don't know. We'll see. My head hurts. Let's move on here. So, moving on from the Lions, let's go into our final NFL topic today, which will be Grant's team. The 3-0. Undefeated. Never lost. So far. Vegas Raiders. Grant, the 3-0 Vegas Raiders, they have proven me wrong so far. And Tyler, what a coincidence. He's skipping another show after a Raiders win. Wow.
Yeah, I know Tyler will magically be available the moment the Raiders take their first L. And I'm not saying this is a 17-0 team because it's certainly not. As we saw last week, or yes, Sunday. Sorry, Sunday. I know this comes out Tuesday. Sloppier game for the Raiders, but I mean, they're not all going to be as pristine as Pittsburgh or even, I mean, they played really well against Baltimore too, but this was a little sloppy. Derek Carr throwing a pick 6, little miscommunication with him and Foster Moreau. Love Foster Moreau, their backup tight end. But
LSU.
LSU, man. Foster Moreau spelled E-A-U-X. Let's go. It's cool, like we talk about the Lions, it's the same thing with the Raiders. They come into a game at home 2-0, and before most fans are in the seats, it's 14-0. They're down.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of those games where we've seen it last year. I think I've texted you guys about it a lot. They lost to the Falcons 43-6.
I remember that.
People tend to forget that. I smelled that coming out of the gate, and it was great to see a team, like, to see this team finally be like, you know what? No, we're not losing 14-0 to Miami. They don't even, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, in my opinion, was a better quarterback than Tua. I said it last week, and he looked good, man. Jacoby Brissett deserves a shot to start, I think, somewhere. Maybe in a bad organization, like a not great organization, like Miami right now. I mean, Tua being out is not the worst thing in the world. Let him get healed up. Let Jacoby Brissett ride, but I'm not here to talk about Miami. I mean, Hunter Renfro, sweet baby Hunter.
We're here to talk about the undefeated Vegas Raiders.
3-0, baby.
Ooh,
see this coming.
1 of 5 undefeated teams, let me say.
Whew. People forget, man. I said the Raiders were 2-1 at best, and even that was shushed by Tyler and the likes of others. Let's just say that. That was
just
doubted.
Just say it.
And rightfully so. It didn't seem right. I mean, Man, I went through some flack, dude. I need Tyler back on the show because, I mean, at this point, I don't have a ton of words to say to him. I just want to give him like a little like, hey, man, we're 3-0. Like,
yeah, apologize. And again,
please, put some respect on Derek Carr's name. Put some respect on the Raiders. But
let me say this, not to interrupt you. If they win on Monday Night Football next week in SoFi against the Chargers, I will get Tyler on this program. He cannot skip. He can't skip.
I'll tell you who you need to give some respect to, man. I'll tell you why.
I don't know if we're there yet. I don't know if we're full on respecting Gruden. This could be more of a Gus Bradley tighten up the defense. I'm not sold on Gruden.
Yeah,
man.
I'm not ready to go. Yeah, John Gruden's actually not as bad as I thought.
I'll give you that. But dude, we've done this every year. They start the season 6-3, 6-4. And we finished the season 7-9 or 8-8. Yeah. Like, it's a tough second half of the season at times. The schedule's looking all right. But, you know, we're not there yet. We're taking it one game at a time. This is basically our 10th home game of the season on Monday night because the Raiders fans run L.A. And let's be honest, there's not really many Chargers fans. If anyone that tunes in on Monday night, I guarantee you see more silver and black than that. Not cool powder blue and yellow. That's
not
just the way
cool.
It is.
I love their jerseys.
I mean, Tony, it's an AFC West rival. I can't like their colors.
That's fair.
Any other week?
You're fair.
All right. Just wanted to say that one day I will appreciate their colors, but not this week.
Not this week.
That's going to be a slugfest. I think that's going to be a lot of offense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're talking betting, I'm probably leaning the over. Because I don't like to always bet on the Raiders, but this will be a game.
Even with the Raiders defense playing well and the Chargers having a solid defense too, with Brandon Staley, defensive guy.
I, as much as I love the Raiders defense and what the Chargers are doing on defense, this just feels like a game where teams are kind of like, you know what? We're going to try and slow them down,
crazy.
But we are not going to try and stop them. We are going to clock management this. Like, if they have the ball with 5 minutes left, maybe lessen up a little bit. I'm not saying let him score, but kick a field goal, get the ball back, 2-minute drill. Derek Carr is one of the best in the game at that, in my opinion. I don't know. It feels like an offensive game. And, I mean, if Jacoby Brissett is any indication of the Raiders' defense, they could work on some check down coverage, which you'd think with Derek Carr in his past, used to check down a lot. And you'd think there'd be some film on that, but I mean, they gave up, just like you said with the Lions, 4th and 19. The Raiders gave up 4th and 20 with 30 seconds left in the game, setting up the game tying touchdown and 2-point conversion. But I need to get my heart checked. I think I need a like one of those heart rate monitor watches. No free ads, but I need one of those. I don't need one of those because I'll freak myself out seeing a 200-plus heart rate when it comes down to some of these.
The Raiders are going to kill Grant.
They might. I mean, two overtime games. I mean, at least the Steelers game was kind of like, after that Ruggs touchdown, it was kind of
You were good after that, yeah.
Yeah, but two games at home, two overtime games against decent teams. First team in NFL history to win their first three games against teams that had 10 or more wins the season prior. So put that in the history books. Also, first time the Raiders have gone 3-0 since since 2002 when they went to the Super Bowl. So we're not getting ahead of ourselves, but we're looking at some stats here.
Well, hey, listen, going back to the game on Sunday, you mentioned how you started slow against the Dolphins. You were down 14-0 early. You mentioned the pick six, and there was also a questionable call to go for it on, 4th and 1? And it was in your own territory too, wasn't it? And obviously that didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, that set up the Malcolm Brown, elite running back, by the way, Malcolm Brown. Just kidding.
Almost Scott, former but, Lion, Malcolm Brown.
Almost former Lion?
Yeah, Bob Quinn, when he was here, and when Malcolm Brown was with the Rams, the Lions, I think, signed him to like a restricted deal that the Rams matched and kept. And then we eventually got CJ Anderson, I believe. Could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's how that all worked out. But whatever. So you were down 14-0 early. Not a great start. But as Gruden said after the game, putting up 25 unanswered against a team like Miami, who borderline playoff team, I feel like. You know, I definitely think they could still be in the wild card race throughout the rest of the season. To put up 25 unanswered against a team like that, against a coach like Brian Flores, yeah, that was impressive. That was really impressive. But then you almost blew it. I'm not going to lie, you almost blew it. The missed PAT by your boy, Daniel Carlson, really almost cost you, because Miami, as we all know, got the touchdown, the two-point conversion to tie and force overtime. You exchange field goals in overtime. You get the ball back, drive down the field, game winner, ball game. Carlson redeems himself after the missed PAT that kind of really sent them into overtime. But listen, doesn't matter how you win, you won. You're one of five teams, still 3-0. And now you got the Chargers on Monday Night Football in SoFi. This is a big game. You know, we talked about earlier Matthew Stafford having a statement performance, and that was a statement game for him and the Rams against the Bucks. This is a statement game for both of you, Raiders and the Chargers. This is a statement game for both of you. I mean, the Chargers maybe might have already had their statement game. They just went to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs. But if they can also beat the Raiders back-to-back weeks, Chiefs-Raiders back-to-back weeks, yeah, this is a statement game for both teams. Who is really going to be the top AFC West team right now until very likely the Chiefs figure it out, you know? Is it going to be Vegas or is it going to be the Chargers? Could also be Denver. They are also 3-0, but they've also been both New York teams and Jacksonville to start the season. So I'm not ready to call them one of the top AFC West teams yet. That's neither here or there. Nonetheless, big game Monday night. I think it's a statement game for both teams.
Oh, undoubtedly. I mean, the Chargers are coming off a huge win, but yeah, it's just like we expected, man. Denver and Vegas leading the AFC West.
Oh yeah,
West,
I definitely saw that right? coming. Like, yeah,
everyone said. Chiefs 1-2, no doubt. Sorry, I'm gonna revel in this until things change. Oh. But being two games up on the Chiefs is that's not something I saw happening this season. I saw the Raiders and Chiefs starting out good, starting out well, but not in this sense. But yeah, it is going to be a statement game at SoFi. Biggest road game of the season so far, even though the Raiders probably outsell Chargers fans and tickets. That's just the way it goes in L.A. It's hilarious. We call it our home away from home. I love it. But no, it's definitely a statement game. We got the young buck versus the kind of a veteran now in Derek Carr. And
kind
obviously
of?
The young buck being Justin Herbert.
Hey, he's been in the league for how peaking. Long?
Tony's peaking. It's like his eighth year bump. You really start to understand the league once you've been through it seven times. But no, I mean, this will be a great game. Two, in my opinion, fairly balanced teams, or at least compared to each other. Maybe the Chargers are the edge on defense. I like both teams' offenses a lot. I love Justin Herbert. I have him in
Me too.
Probably 75% of my fantasy leagues, I think. Mm. I was really high on him. He hasn't been everything, but great week last week against the Chiefs that he needed to do. But yeah, I did just want to touch on that Daniel Carlson kick. Once he missed that PAT, I knew something bad was going to happen. I knew we couldn't lose.
It almost did.
It could have been worse, man. Three goal line stands for the Raiders in OT, forcing a short field goal. Just
Gus Bradley, man.
Gus Bradley has got this figured out.
Good hire. 3 weeks in.
I've been singing his praises
from the beginning. We all wanted Patricia. You got Bradley. And while we were sad that they didn't get Patricia, you were like, no, this is the right one. This is the right one.
This is, and I haven't been wrong so far, but if the Raiders, if they want to make a real run this season, they need some O-line help. A lot of guys hurt, but just that was a little brutal. That was my one concern. Everything else was like, sustainable, formidable, good enough. We're good enough to win games, and that's I didn't expect a Super Bowl team this year. But the Raiders are starting to show they got some heart, they got some grit. Mm. But 3-0 is not a bad way to start if you're trying to get to the Super Bowl.
No, not at all. Even if you're just trying to be a wild card team, that's a really good start. It's a really good start. You know, these three words are going to be really relevant for our final segment today, and it it pertains to the Raiders as well. Survive and advance. Doesn't matter how it happens. If you win and you survive, just advance on to the next week. Doesn't care how it happened, you got that W. And the Vegas Raiders, as I said already, one of five teams still undefeated. Now, if you're still undefeated at the time we record next week, I'll have to get Tyler on the program. I'll force him. Because it is a Monday Night Football game, so we might have to do what we did for your last Monday Night Football game against Baltimore to start the season, where me and you stay up late and record post-game thoughts. And if they pull out that win, you best believe we will force Tyler to join us. No doubt about it. He's got to come in even for like 2 seconds to hear it from you. But that
I feel like I'm owed that at this point. Like, after the amount of disrespect I received, I feel like I'm owed a quick little, like, just a quick little, like, hey, Tyler, like, you were hating. We heard it. We all heard it. And the Raiders must have heard it, too, because they're strictly out to prove Tyler Sowell wrong right now.
Yeah, that's their motivation right now, to prove Tyler and telling you wrong. Absolutely. But... Hey, I mean, listen, what a week in the NFL, though. Absolutely insane games this week for pretty much everybody except the Jets and the Giants. But it was another great week of NFL football, and I love it. Oh, what a week. What a week for the NFL. All right, let's move into our final topic today. I kind of already alluded to it a little bit. Michigan and Michigan State. Survive and advance. It was ugly. Grant, it was ugly, but they both got wins on Saturday. Both teams avoided upset losses at home. Michigan barely beat Rutgers. Michigan State barely beat Nebraska. It was stressful for both teams, but survive and advance. They got the wins. They're both 4-0 and feeling good right now. For MSU, listen, I definitely thought they were losing. I definitely thought they were losing. The offense was a complete mess on Saturday night. 5-3 and outs in the second half. No first downs in the second half. The defense was basically on the field for the entire second half of that football game. The offense was a mess. But the defense and the special teams carried the team for the win at home. Jaden Reed, the punt return touchdown to tie the game. That was huge. That helped force overtime. And then the defense, who was getting stop after stop after stop all game long. They got the interception, Kimbrough, to put the offense back on the field in overtime. Michigan State still couldn't score a touchdown. They were close, but still couldn't put it in. So Mel Tucker said, screw it. Kicking team, get out there. Send us home happy. And they got the game-winning field goal to get the victory over Nebraska. Survive and advance. Survive and advance. 4-0 for Michigan State. They are now number 17 in the country. On to Western Kentucky. Another Saturday night game next week. Or this week, I should say. Let's go. Let's make it 5-0. I'm feeling good. Let's go. Grant, talk Michigan for me. And then we'll go on and get out of here.
I've jokingly said, I believe on this podcast, that Rutgers is kind of a wagon. And they're not really a wagon in the sense of Alabama, all the real good teams. But
did someone say Alabama, Mike?
I did say Alabama. What up, Mike? Shout out, Mike.
Mike is gone.
All right, just cool. Good keep talk, going. Mike. But Rutgers is an up-and-coming team, but I'm not making excuses for Michigan. That was bad. That is what happens when you can't necessarily just run the ball over teams. I mean, we've seen all year Michigan just kind of puts the ball on the ground and lets it roll. And then if Cade has to make a throw here and there, that's kind of what he does. And just I'm not saying it was a letdown game coming in, because that's easy to say when you don't call it early. I had Michigan covering easily. I didn't think it was much of a threat.
Well, so did I.
I mean, so did a lot of people. So that's why you can't really call it a letdown game. Everyone expected Michigan to do well, unless that's like a meta letdown game where everyone, like, you overlook, I don't know, I'm gonna get a wormhole going and I don't need that. It definitely wasn't the game you expected. It started off pretty strong. I believe Michigan was up 10-14. They were up decent, and I was just kind of like, all right, here we go again. How many points can Michigan put up? And then Rutgers really put a stop to that. And, well, I don't know, man. It doesn't give me hope coming into the stretch. Like, once Michigan's off their bye, they have State, they have Ohio State, even Wisco next week, Wisconsin.
I was about to ask you
Michigan
about that.
In Wisconsin.
Yeah. The line, not to interrupt you, the line is Michigan minus one right now.
Yeah, and that's fair. It's going to be a close game because neither of these teams have really had the opportunity. Well, Wisconsin's had their opportunity to bring their best. I mean, last couple games was kind of
bad. They're bad.
I am not making a case for Wisconsin, but I'm saying they've had an opportunity to show their best. They've come out against Penn State and now Notre Dame and just looked flat. They look flat in big games. Quarterback just
brutal.
And worse than Cade McNamara on a bad day.
Especially against Jack Cohn, the guy you kind of let go. He went to Notre Dame, and oh boy.
Yeah, Graham Mertz, that's kind of a, like, hey, show me game. And
terrible. No, bad. No other way around it, terrible. Yeah, this Wisconsin team is kind of reeling right now, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be close, but this is the game, Michigan, if they want to show that this year is different, this is the game you got to win.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, this is the game at Wisconsin, noon kick. This is a Michigan Big Ten game.
Mike's favorite. God,
can we not get started on Fox?
Yeah,
he was having
Fox.
A good show.
Oh, we're Mike is back. I knew that was going to wake. I knew that was going to wake him up. I knew that was going to wake him up. Mike was sleeping. I knew that was going to wake him up.
My
just
goodness,
talk about
man.
Fox. I know you love the injury music.
Oh, I mean that. I actually do like. Other than that, it's
oh, stop it. Shit. No, you don't.
The little piano version of the theme song. I love it, man.
He's such a liar.
Can I just say, I went to the Michigan-Michigan State game at State, was on Fox, and yes, there was a 45-minute weather delay, but of game time with players on the field, I swear that was a 4.5-hour game. Just every chance they got was like, ad break, ad break. After the PAT,
it's so,
ad
it's
break.
So many commercials.
After the kick, ad break.
You think
team makes a substitution,
this...
ad break.
You'd think after all this commercial money, they'd actually have money to buy real cameras, but yet they
oh
still
boy, okay,
don't
enough
do
Fox
so.
Slander. We're done here. We're done.
I'm done.
Yeah, we got Mike riled up. Thank you, Mike. Grant, it's just like Michigan State. I've said survive in advance for a reason. That's the name of the game. Wasn't pretty, just like the Raiders. It wasn't pretty at times, but you know what? They got the win at the end of the day. Survive in advance. Now you're going to Madison. Need to win this game if you want to prove that this could be a different year.
And be still be undefeated going into the Michigan-Michigan State game on Halloween, I believe, or is that
it's
the day before?
It's the day before, the 30th.
Whatever, that's Halloween. Who cares?
It's Halloween weekend.
But in comparison to your three words, survive in advance, I'm going to take something from the late, great Al Davis. Just win, baby.
Just win, baby. You know who's not winning that I want to quickly talk with Grant about? Clemson lost again. Did you realize that we're probably not going to see Clemson in the playoff this year?
Yeah, there's... I think I've mentioned this, at least in my head. Right now, there's not really a running them over, do-it-all team in
the Oh,
in
yes, there is.
Right
Mike,
now.
Who is it?
Alabama.
Florida?
Alabama.
Two-point win against Florida. I mean, a win's a win. Survive in advance. They're undefeated. But this is not, like, this is not the wagon we've seen before so far. They haven't looked like they've beat up on the bad teams, and Alabama's going to do that because they have NFL-caliber players. But when it comes to game time, even Florida as a team, Alabama can beat handedly at times, and they're not right now.
I mean, I still think Alabama is just really, really good right now. And so
it's still Alabama on the field.
It's still Alabama. Yeah, it's still
field.
Nick
yes.
Saban. But there's also another SEC team that is just looking unbelievable, and that's Georgia. Another team with a good head coach and NFL talent all over the place, especially defensively. Georgia and Alabama, they look like the top two easily. And now with Clemson having a down year and they're probably not going to be in the playoff, that opens up a spot for maybe an Oregon or a Big Ten champion, whoever that might end up being at the end of the season. It's good, though. It's good to have some more variety in the sport. You know, we were having a little bit too much of Alabama-Clemson there. So, hey, Clemson's having a down year. Don't care. Don't want to hear it. You've won enough. Time for new teams to shine. Yeah, time for new teams to shine. I'm happy for Oregon. Love those jerseys. Grant, can you acknowledge the Oregon jerseys to end the show?
Oh, my God. Coming up as a West Coast kid, you heard about Oregon, and the guy that founded Nike went to Oregon, and they always have new jerseys, new designs, and they are 95% of the time so clean. The best jerseys in college football, bar none, day in, day out. And I got to sing some praises. I need to see the Duck uniforms again. Orange socks, orange cleats, white pants, green jersey. Give me the Duck jerseys again. Those are electric. Quack. Quack.
That's a good way to end the program. That's how we're ending. Mike, you're the only one left with me and Grant because Eli dipped. You want to say goodbye to the audience at home, Mike?
Have a great night. That's all I got to say.
Mike Pilica, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Mike is just ready for the weekend. He's ready for Alabama.
I'm so ready.
And for SEC weekend. Football and MAC on Sunday night. All right, we're out of here. Thank you all for listening. For the two remaining in this call, Mike Billick and Grant Richards, along with Eli Bashi, Jay Horn, Tyler Sawa, my name is Tony Abrowski. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all in the next episode.